Well, your pastor is getting kind of old. He feels that way. In fact, if you notice this morning, he was walking like an old man. Hurt my back yesterday and didn't realize it until later on in the afternoon. And last night, I could hardly move. Couldn't even get out of bed. And so I got up early in the morning and did the sermon on my PowerPoint. Put it in the, of course I did it on my desktop. Put it in that pen drive and forgot to transfer it to my laptop. So I am so sorry. So I guess you'll just have to listen attentively, and hopefully back there they will show some scriptures. The Lord led me a couple of days into a word that we have been hearing already this morning. I didn't talk to Elisa about what I was going to teach, and the last song's title is called Gratitude, and that's exactly what the Lord told me or brought into my attention a couple of days ago. You know, we live in a world of a lot of information. It seems like the more knowledge we gain on the things of this world, the more burden we seem to get. I mean, knowledge can be weighty. And, you know, this could explain in part why there are not that many people expressing joy and happiness anymore. There's a lot of anger being expressed, complaints. But joy and happiness are fading, it seems like. And now you may live in an environment that there's a lot of it, but I'm speaking in general terms. We get daily news from all around the world. We hear about this storm and that war and this abuse and that abuse. And, you know, the news are usually bad ones all over the world. And then when we get the good news, we sort of feel bad and resent the fact that we cannot be there to enjoy it. Because now you can go all over the world, technically, through media. And yet, you know, you see the waves, you see the guy surfing, and you say, I want to be there. I don't want just to see it. I want to do it. So in general, we seem to be a very discontented people. And I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ in this particular aspect is not much different than the world. I don't see that many happy Christians anymore. And sometimes I look in my mirror and I don't see a happy guy like this morning. My way I was hurting. So I want to take a little look on the subject of gratitude. Before I get into it, I'm so excited to have Stan and Brenda Duick from Pennsylvania. They came some time ago and visited us, and I think he did. Had you come to Brenda? You did one time. And so they filled out a visitor's card. And so I contacted them the next week, and I was going to get with them to learn, get to know them more. And Stan said they had rushed back to Pennsylvania because she was found with some health issues and had to be taken care of right then and there. So I told him we were going to pray. And we prayed, my wife and I, and I think at one of our Sunday night prayer times, we prayed. And so after a few procedures, it was a serious diagnosis. And after a few procedures, and by the grace of God, she's here with us today. So we're excited for you to be here. She's looking good for one that has gone through the mill. And Stan is holding the fort as well. I'm not saying you're pretty, but yeah, I'm glad you're here. Here are some facts that have been proven by non-Christian research. One fact that they have found out, grateful people are the happiest people. People who regularly express gratitude have more energy and have better outlook on the future. People who regularly express gratitude are healthier than those who don't express it. That's an interesting tidbit. People who regularly express gratitude have less emotional and psychological issues. Ready to buy the product? Yeah. People who regularly express gratitude are less envious and less materialistic. There were some experiments done, and people doing the experiment watched the experiences within the lab, all of this non-Christian. And they were able to say that when people are asked to do structured gratitude exercises, such as writing what they are grateful for or keeping gratitude journals or calling and visiting people to express gratitude to them, then they become happier as they practice these gratitude exercises. You have heard by now that people say that love is a decision. I tend to agree with that. Gratitude is also a decision. You and I have to decide to. God's not going to force us to. But there is some good news. The more you decide to be grateful, the easier it gets. The more you declare gratitude, the more things you notice to be grateful for. You know, you start with a little bit, yeah. Well, I thank you that I was able to get up this morning without not much pain. And then that I was able to look at the face in the mirror without being in pain. And then you keep on, and it keeps, you realize, man, there's so many things that only by the grace of God are we able to enjoy. And it just, it's like a rolling ball in the snow effect. It keeps growing and growing. The more you declare gratitude, the more things you notice to be grateful for. That's very true. And then, like muscles in your physical bodies, you know, most of us have muscles. And we need to exercise them. Gratitude muscles respond very well to regular exercise as well. So just like in the physical, gratitude muscles, they get better and stronger as you practice them, as you work them out. It is from an attitude of great gratitude that we are compelled to act as grateful people. Gratitude is a decision, but then it requires some action for it to be fulfilled. Gratitude doesn't seem to be a natural or an instinctive thing for most of us. You know, we're born,
milk, I'm wet, I'm soiled, I'm sleepy.
And some of us grown up, that's all we do. So it doesn't come natural. It's not an instinctive thing with us humans. Therefore, a thankful spirit, which is not just word, but the intent beneath the words, that is the result of continuous practice. You have to work at it. Just like if you want to have a great physique, you have to work. You have to work those muscles. If you want a heart that is full of gratitude, you have to work at it. In Romans chapter 1, from about verse 18 on, Paul is talking about non-Christians, ungodly people, and he's saying some things about their behavior or their nature. And in Romans 1:21, he says, talking about non-Christians, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. There are a lot of people around the world who know God, who know about God, but they're not thankful, according to this verse. And it's true. Many people say, yeah, I believe in God. But there's no thankfulness towards him. They have knowledge, but that knowledge has not converted into an action of gratitude. And I am afraid that this trend is not exclusive of the non-Christians, but it's advancing within the Christian ranks. We have not been very thankful people. We are beginning to fall in the trap of the world. Demand this. I have rights for this. And you know, we go to God and said, God, what's wrong with you? You said you were going to protect me in a demanding way. Psychologists have found out that only 10% of our happiness comes from our circumstances. 10% of our happiness comes from our circumstances. You know where the rest come from? From being grateful. From gratitude. A happy person is one that is grateful. You go back to your times of happiness and you realize there's a gratefulness there that you really enjoy. If that's so, why would we allow our circumstances to dominate, to control 90% of our thinking? If only 10% of circumstances drives us to happiness, why would we think so much in that 10%? Because we don't have this, oh, I am unhappy. I want this, I want that, I want the other. I was hearing the other day a perspective on a parable that I didn't think before. But he was talking about, I think it was in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. You know, this rich man was going on a trip, and he had three of his servants. And to one he gave a bag of gold, and then the other one he gave two bags of gold, and then the other one he gave five bags of gold. He said, you know, go on, invest it and multiply it and bring it back to me. And so the guy was saying, you know, I think I am number two guy. You know, because there's a catch at the end of the rich man giving the bags or the talents, as it's called in the Bible. I'm just bringing it to a place that you can identify with. One bag of gold, two bags of gold, five bags of gold. And then the scripture says, according to their ability. And so, you know, we would probably, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, I'm not the one bag of gold guy. I'm probably not the five bag of gold guy. I'm probably the two bag of gold. You know, we seem to have modesty there. But then the thought comes in, I am better than the one with the one. You know, and so we get braggadocious. And then we look at the one with the five and we get jealous. How come he's got five? I only get two. Unsatisfaction. That steals gratefulness right from under us. And pride will too. All of those facts and knowledges come from what men have found out about human nature and behavior. All of these tidbits are research from men. God, who is our creator, has given us a manual which in it describes how we function and what he desires for us that is best. So we're going to look at some examples of gratitude in the Word. In the book of Ezra, a little story before we get in there. The people of Israel had been given land in the Promised Land and build their houses and the towns and the cities and all of that. Build a temple in Israel. They started doing evil things before the Lord. And God would send them prophets. Jeremiah, he would come and say, guys, you're doing terrible. You need to repent. Come back to the Lord. And people would say, nah, we got everything we need. We don't need God. So finally, Israel went into captivity for 70 years into Babylon. And after 70 years, God stirred the heart of Cyrus, the king of Persia, and he let the people, the Jews, go back to Jerusalem. Not only let them go back, but provided the funding to build the temple back again. And the city and all of those structures. And so we see in the book of Ezra, chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Excuse me, it reads, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Verse 11. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever towards Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Johnny and I started a month ago a foundation for a little laundry addition to his house. And so the first week I went, man, like a dog on a new bone. And I just worked and dug and did all kinds of crazy things. Very excited about building, you know how I am. Well, we got her done, foundation laid. Inspector came and said, yeah, all is good. Go ahead, pour the concrete for the slab. Well, we hit a roadblock. All the concrete companies, they were booked for at least a month. And the rain came. And the wind blew. And the dirt rolled in the foundation place. And I'm dying to go. That's just a foundation. These people are so excited that the foundation was being laid. And they had a party. Johnny, you haven't had a party yet. Of course, our foundation hasn't been poured yet, but we're working on it. Gratitude. It was only the foundation of the temple building, yet they were very grateful. We read a while ago that grateful people have more energy and have better outlook on the future than those that don't. You know, Johnny and I can sit in the chairs on the outside looking at the foundation not finished, and we can say, we're never going to get it done. Or we can say, yeah, we're almost there. If we say it's not going to get done, we probably won't do it. But if we encourage one another and are grateful for it, what has been done, we'll keep on. They rejoiced and they were very willing to continue the task. And what was the task for? To finish the temple so that they can praise the Lord according to how he wanted to be praised and honored and worshiped. So it was not for them. It was for God's glory. And they were excited. In Psalms chapter 9, verse 1. David wrote, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous work. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. I will praise you with my whole heart. It starts in the heart. And once it gets birth in the heart, it triggers action. And there's going to be an outward demonstration. Psalms 35, verse 18. Again, David wrote, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. It tells me that gratitude towards the Lord needs to be demonstrated publicly, not just privately. And he's called for us, his church, to assemble together and not forget it. And part of the assembling together is to corporately worship and praise the Lord, which we do faithfully in this house every Sunday. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Glory. Not just say gratitude, sing it. I know you all like music. I hope you know that God loves your singing. Whether I like it or not, that's irrelevant. I know you don't want to hear me bellowing in the bathroom, but I do, and the Lord loves it. Amen. In the shower, man, is just great time. Great time. Nobody hears, nobody condemns me, and the Lord loves it. Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the Lord, rock of our salvation. Hallelujah. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. Not just say it. Not just sing it. Shout it out. You know, some churches, they're proud to be solemn and calm and quiet and low-key. And some others of us are wild and loud. I know you guys can be loud. Sometimes I don't bring my earpieces because it hurts. But God loves loud. Amen. Now don't get shot by your neighbor just because God likes it. Psalms 107, verse 21. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Many times, gratitude can be a sacrifice to start with. But listen, once you get going, there's no stopping. The joy of the Lord becomes your strength, and then it just empowers you to keep on being grateful. It's a great feeling. I wish you would try it. So it's great to talk about gratefulness, gratitude. How to become people of gratitude. First of all, to be grateful, you need to be content. We have to learn what contentment is all about. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul, addressing the Philippians, he says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content." We cannot be really grateful until we are content. Notice that Paul says, "I have learned to be content." It doesn't come naturally. You cannot just believe in faith and just stand there. "Lord, I'm ready when you are." No, you have to activate your muscles. Contentment is learned. It is not part of your DNA. It's not intrinsic. It's not automatic. You have to work on it. Now, contentment doesn't mean I'm happy where I'm at. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to do anything. Now, that's the definition of laziness. Contentment is you got goals, but whether you make them or not, it's okay. You're going to shoot at the target, but if I miss it, I'm not going to be destroyed. I'll try again, and I keep trying because that's what the Lord has done us to go from glory to glory. But if we slip and fall, that's okay. He's there to lift us up and let us try again, and we're not going to be crashed or crushed. So contentment is needed in order for us to become fully grateful. Another aspect that we need is we need to remember. In Psalms 103, verse 2, David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." We just had communion. And one of the things that Paul instructed the Corinthians was to remember. And Jesus told the disciples, every time you do this, remember me. Remember what I did, what I'm about to do, really. So we need to remember where we were, how bad we were as we were in the world, how crazy things were, and then the change that happened when Jesus became Lord of our lives. Now, not everything was rosy, but boy, the promises were great. They are great. And I have received a lot of the promises, and I'm sure you have too. But you know, there are many to come. And that's exciting. I remember when I was not a Christian and I knew there was a God. I had knowledge of God. But I didn't know where he was. And I didn't know where I was headed. Well, I knew where I was headed. I just knew that there was something better for me that I didn't know about. And that's really what drove me to the foot of the cross. I knew that there was more for me from the Lord than what I was experiencing. And so, now I look back and I remember, and I thank God I have Jesus. Like my wife says all the time, I don't know how people without the Lord do it in these days. It is very scary out there. So you need contentment. You need a good memory. And then you need to be generous. We talked about finances for the last month. But generosity is needed along with contentment and a good memory in order to experience gratitude in the heart. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, it reads, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." When it says that the generous soul will be made rich, that's not a promise for you to be rich. That means you will prosper. If you're generous, then God will give you more. If you're stingy, then God cannot bless that, because that's an attitude that goes against how God is. He loves so much that he gives. And we, his children, we're supposed to be givers. But as you become generous towards others, you see the effect of your generosity upon others as people respond to you with gratitude. And then you're inspired to be grateful also when others are generous to you, because you know how it feels. And you know, I found out that when you become a giver, that is such a satisfying feeling. When you can give with no strings attached, and the other person is trying to repay back to you and say, "It's fine, I got my kicks out of it. I'm excited that I was able to help you when you couldn't pay me back." It is a great feeling. You got to try it. There's a song that we sing here sometimes. He goes something like this. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let's let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. See, that is the essence of the heart of gratitude. Giving thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it reads, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We need to be grateful people, thankful people. And if we are called to give thanks in all circumstances, that means we need to choose gratitude. Even before we face whatever circumstance is going to come our way. Again, gratitude is a decision. Let's act on it. Father, I thank you that you have given us so many reasons for us to be thankful to you. And Father, we have not even addressed being thankful and grateful to one another for the things that we do for one another. Lord, we have only touched on being thankful to you, which can be done in secret, and yet you are calling us to do it corporately, out in the open, with action, not just thought, with words, with songs, out loud. Father, help us to be bold in these areas. Lord, we're bold in some other areas that are not pleasing to you. Guide us, Lord, and help us to experience true joy and happiness as we become the grateful people that have so much to be grateful for. For we have knowledge of what we do enjoy and have. We know that you are the source of all of who we are and what we are. And Lord, we are grateful today. And as your children, Father, we want to elevate our hearts of gratitude and saying, thank you, Lord. Lord, I bless your people and I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Anyone needs prayer, please come to the front.